Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone. I'd like to welcome all of you back to Ohio Exopolitics. I'm your host, Mark Snyder. There's an interesting article that you can find out on the Future of Mankind site that deals with how the Japanese and Chinese races came to the Earth. And I'm going to read a lot of this today. This is something I haven't completely digested myself, although I've read it several times before. So let me go ahead and start there. This is actually an extract from a booklet. There are 30-some pages of this material that you can get, but this is just about 4 pages. The Japanese and the Chinese have come to the Earth 6 to 7 million years ago, as it was explained to me by Pata during my visit in Switzerland. On the other hand, in issue 74 of your pamphlet is written the following: the Japanese and Chinese came to the Earth 25,978 years ago and are therefore a very young race. Which statement is actually correct? So this is a question that was posed to Billy. So evidently Billy had written that the Japanese and the Chinese came to the Earth 6 to 7 million years ago and at a different time, say 25 million years ago. And this is consistent with what the Meyer material says about how the Earth people got here. In other words, there was a naturally developing Earth human here on the planet, but most of the races that we see today are actually extraterrestrial humans who came here 25,000 years ago, 100,000 years ago, had civilizations. Those civilizations declined for whatever reason. They lost their history, they lost their technologies, and now we're in the state we're in today, where we have a whole bunch of different kind of people, different cultures, and we don't know our own history, and we're confused by religions, and the world is in the state it's in. And it says here, the type and format of the questions give the impression that Pata personally had spoken with the inquirer and had given explanations and information. First of all, it must be clarified in the fact note that, of course, Pata has not given any information or explanations to the inquirer in person, and that he would never do so. However, all questions were answered exclusively by Billy on Ta's behalf. It is correct that the Chinese and Japanese human races on Earth are very young. If you calculate backward from the year 1990, they have settled here on Earth 25,978 years ago, the time that denotes the first colonization on the Earth. The time that denotes the final colonization on Earth. The background for the appearance of the Chinese and Japanese races is as follows. The two yellow races were created and lived in their original native land on the other side of the Milky Way. So both the Chinese and the Japanese came here from a very, very far distance. They were on the other side of the central sun of our galaxy. For this reason, it is said that they came from the other side of the sun. Their native system was called the Nizon system, and they lived on a planet called Kudra. Planet Kudra was discovered by an expedition fleet from Lazon when it left the Lyra systems approximately 16 million years ago to conduct its research and search for human life on the other side of the Milky Way. In the process, the fleet came upon the yellow human kitten and Niper races, who on Earth are now called the Chinese kitten and the Japanese Niper. You know, I'm going to take a short break here and play a clip that talks about, well, I thought it was. There's a clip that I want to play that talks about galaxies. Spiral Galaxy with a Secret. Let's play this, and then I'll be back after this clip here.
The NASA ESA Hubble Space Telescope, with a little help from an amateur astronomer, has produced one of the best views yet of nearby galaxy Messier 106, a striking spiral galaxy with a number of secrets. Located a little over 20 million light-years away, practically a neighbor by cosmic standards, Messier 106 is one of the brightest and nearest spiral galaxies to our Milky Way. Although it may not look particularly unique, some of its features have baffled astronomers for years. Messier 106 has a supermassive black hole at its center. Although this is true for most galaxies, this black hole is particularly active and hungry, gobbling up nearby material at a startling rate. This huge black hole's bottomless appetite is behind much of the galaxy's unusual behavior. Messier 106 appears to be emitting powerful radiation from its center, something we do not see with our Milky Way. This is caused by the very active black hole at the galaxy's center, which violently drags gas and dust inwards. This material heats up, emitting bright microwave and X-ray radiation as it does so. However, this emission is not the most intriguing feature of the spiral galaxy. This image shows the galaxy's other not-so-hidden secret. Alongside its two regular, star-packed spiral arms, it appears to have two more, made out of hot, glowing gas. While these ghostly extra arms have been known about for decades, astronomers were unsure of how they formed, until recently. Yet again, the culprit is Messier 106's supermassive black hole. The extra arms are actually regions of gas that have been heated up to scorching temperatures of millions of degrees. As material spins around and heats up at the galaxy's center, the turbulent motion causes jets of material to shoot outwards. The jets disrupt.
Oh, sorry, folks. I was muted there. I hate when I do that. Sorry about the dead air. Anyway, what I was saying is on the other side of the central sun of our Milky Way galaxy is a planet called Kudra, and it is evidently the home of the Japanese and the Chinese races. The Chinese are called Kint and the Japanese are called Niper. And this was discovered about 16 million years ago by the people from the Lyra Vega system. So there's been human races in the Milky Way galaxy for quite some time. The native Earth humans originated about 9 to 12 million years ago. Now, the Lyrians discovered this planet Kudra about 16 million years ago. So that's before there were any human beings on Earth. Now, just to throw a little confusion into things, again, this history gets kind of complicated. The people that were in Lyra Vega, the Lyrians, came from another galaxy themselves. So they're an older race, a much older race. And anyway, let me pick up here. Okay. Planet Kudra was discovered by an expedition fleet from Lazon when it left the Lyra systems approximately 16 million years ago to conduct its research and search for human life on the other side of the Milky Way. In the process, the fleet came upon the Yellow Kintan and Niper races, who on Earth are now called Chinese, the Kintan, and Japanese, the Niper. Their expedition troops at the time brought roughly 4,000 people back to Lazon, whereupon they settled on various planets. So the Japanese and Chinese people, as we call them today, settled in the Lyra Vega system as well. As normally occurs, the population increased, and in the course of thousands and millions of years, the people were considered considerably more populous, and eventually they occupied five planets in the Lazon Alliance of Planets. Then approximately 6.7 million years ago, these people fought wars and had power struggles amongst themselves, whereupon a number of individuals from each race united and fled in nine spaceships. So they originated on Kudra, on the other side of the Milky Way galaxy, on the other side of the central sun. The Lyrians, in their exploration, came upon them. They brought 4,000 of those people back to Lyra Vega, and then they had a population explosion, basically populated four or five planets, and then they started having their own wars, and then they fled the Lyra Vega system in nine spaceships. During that flight, they followed a well-known path that had been discovered in the Lyra system by the old Lazons about 22 million years ago, before their time, when the Lazons had followed a fragment of a planet and a destroyer planet that had devastated several planets of the races of in the Lyra system. The path led the refugees to an enclave of the galaxy beyond the galaxy spiral's arm, to a sun system with two wonderful planets capable of supporting life, namely the Sol system and Earth. So they came to our solar system in the ancient past, and they found two planets capable of supporting life. So depending on when they came here, they either found, because at one time there were three planets that supported life on the Earth, Melona, Mars, and Earth, or supported life in our solar system. On this planet Earth, there existed in former times a gigantic landmass, an island in a world encompassing ocean. And this is where the refugees settled, in the remote northeastern region of the former single continent, Asia of today. The planet had already produced independent life some millions of years ago, including that of human life forms. Remember, I said there were native Earth humans on the Earth. There were native Earth humans before the Japanese and Chinese got here. Furthermore, in some regions, they also encountered groups of human beings whose ancient ancestors had fled from the Lyra systems. So there were the ancestors of the Lyrians were on Earth at this time, too. The newly arrived descendants of the former Khitan and Dnieper races numbered a total of nearly 38,000 people, and they settled in the northeast portion of the Earth's former single continent. So at that time, the Earth just had this one giant continent, and the Japanese and Chinese races settled in the northeastern portion. They had 38,000 people on these ships. There were native Earth humans here. There were the descendants of the Lyra Vegans here as well. And it says here, however, their colonization took place at a time when powerful upheavals and transformations were taking place on Earth, which meant that the climactic conditions were subject to these changes as well. The newcomers were not prepared for this and were unable to defend themselves against the forces of nature. Their spaceships quickly deteriorated, for they were unable to withstand the corrosive effects of Earth's atmosphere. Now, this may sound strange to you, but I've heard this before, because remember the wedding cake ship? The wedding cake ship also had the same problem, and that it would corroded horribly in our atmosphere. I mean, you've heard of rust. So our atmosphere has, even back then, some corrosive things in it. Anyway, it goes on to say, after a few years, when the catastrophe befell them, the ships were useless and inoperative. Now, can you imagine the shock and the disappointment and the fear that these people had, knowing that their ships were useless? And every one of the newcomers perished. They all died here. This then explains how the yellow races arrived here on the Earth for the first time 6.7 million years ago. Now think about that. The ships were very vulnerable to our atmosphere. They corroded. They became useless. They deteriorated. All the people died that came here, all the Japanese and Chinese that we call the yellow races. So their spirit forms went into the energy band around our planet, the spiritual realm, the fine matter world, however you want to call it, and they became part of the reincarnational patterns of Earth. And think about the spirit form that reincarnates now in its next lifetime. It's one of the Japanese Khitan races. It has in its memory, in the subconscious, the memories of the predecessor personality of traveling across space, coming to the Earth, da-da-da. But the consciousness of the new person doesn't consciously remember that, but he has a kind of knowing. He knows that there are people on other worlds. He just knows it, and somehow he knows he's connected to life off this Earth, but he doesn't know exactly how. So it's very interesting. I mean, I'm sure many of us have these same feelings. This then explains how the yellow races arrived here on Earth for the first time 6.7 million years ago, while being at the same time only latecomers of the ancient inhabitants from the Lyra Vega system that had settled on a still barren yet beautiful Earth and planet Melona. So they settled on planet Melona some 22 million years ago. So they settled here 22 million years ago. Now, isn't that different from what it just said about 25,000 years ago? Anyway, this gets to be very convoluted. Let's continue. Meanwhile, the Khitan and the Dnieper peoples were leading a life of degeneration and excess on planet Kuda in the Nizen system, on the other side of the sun of the Milky Way. They lost all their restraints, morals, and traditions. They no longer observe the laws and commandments of creation and nature. They procreated in an unreasonable, unlawful, and despicable manner, which resulted in an overpopulation of planet Kudra, whose inhabitants could no longer feed and sustain themselves. Consequently, millions of spaceships were fully loaded with people and sent on a voyage into the vastness of the universe to find new living space and new inhabitable planets. Wow. We're doing the same thing now, and we don't even have the technology to find new living space. So, sobering indeed. Many billions of people left the planet in this manner, beginning endless voyages through the universe, getting lost in the process, and gradually dying miserably when deadly epidemics raged in their overcrowded ships. Now, this is one thing I remember from reading this before about these diseases that killed all these people in these ships as they left their worlds in a panic, trying to find a new place to live. It's a sobering story, because I think we have a very, very romantic view of space travel. I think it can be at times very overwhelming and very difficult. Anyway, let's continue. Getting lost in the process, so they were actually lost in space, literally, and gradually dying miserably when deadly epidemics raged in the overcrowded ships, cruelly killing billions of refugees before even the first inhabitable planet had been found. Death and misery raged until only a small, pitiful heap of humans had remained, 418,000 in number. So these must have been some really big ships, and a lot of ships, to literally transport billions of people. Can you imagine the technology they must have had? It was in this group who found their way to the Lyra system in the planet Nisan, where peoples in very distant descendants of their ancestors were already living. The wayfarers found their way to Lyra only through a fortunate circumstance, namely the discovery that ancient coordinates were located in a coordination core computer, which pointed out solar systems with habitable planets that were, however, far beyond the other side of the Milky Way. A planet known as Nisan existed there and was already populated. The coordinate delineations had been established prior to the departure of the immigrant ships via central computer that had stored all available data and coordinates in the ship's memory. So this is a very sobering story, a real-life story about overpopulation and poor planning and disasters and the real danger associated with travel across, in this case, the Milky Way galaxy. Let me continue. Including also those of the Lyra systems and planets. The database information had been stored in a central computer memory since time immemorial and had been accepted by the predecessors after having been input around 13.5 million years earlier by those responsible for the Lazon expedition. So that's, you know, things that happened in the very, very distant past. Let me play this clip, and we'll take a short break and listen to this clip then.
Tightly bound together, so it remains roughly straight. However, the looser gas further out is blown away from the jets, so that it curves out of the galactic plane, creating the arching red arms seen in this image. These extra arms are very unusual, and this poses a bit of a puzzle, because galactic jets are actually quite common. It is not just spirals that show jets, elliptical galaxies do too, such as the spectacular radio jets seen around the nearby galaxies Hercules A and Centaurus A. And yet, none of these show any of the features seen in Messier 106. Some of the data for this image of Messier 106 were provided by amateur astronomer Robert Gendler. Together with Hubble, these data allow us to visualize the galaxy's chaotic center and mysterious structure better than ever before.
So hopefully that clip gives you an idea of some of the challenges of space travel. There certainly is challenges. I mean, you could hear in that clip where it talked about the all the crazy stuff that goes on at the center of our galaxy. And I was really interested in going back through this information on the Japanese and the Chinese peoples who came to the Earth 6 to 7 million years ago, and again, 25,978 years ago, and also 6 to 7 million years ago. They were called the Chinese Kitten and the Japanese Niper races. They were on a planet called Kudra on the other side of our galaxy. And they came here the first time. And when they were here on the Earth, they ran into trouble because their ships were very sensitive to our atmosphere. And the metal on their ships corroded and deteriorated. And then they were stranded on the Earth. And they ended up settling in the northeastern portion of this gigantic landmass on the Earth. Really, there was only one continent on the Earth at this time. But anyway, their ships deteriorated to the point where they couldn't get off the Earth, and they ended up all dying. And I talked about how they must have been reincarnated on the Earth with all the memories of the predecessor personalities in a more advanced civilization when they could space travel. And then we talked a little bit later about how back on Kudra, even though the people that had came to the Earth, the Chinese and Japanese, died, the people back on Kudra were kind of going through a stage of degeneracy, and they let their population get incredibly out of control, and they had to leave their planets, and I guess just Kudra. And they left in a lot of ships, and evidently some very big ships, because they had literally billions of people, most of which died off because of diseases that were on the ships. They were wandering through space, like the old show Lost in Space. And only 418,000 survived this journey. They found planets in the Lyra Vegas system because of coordinates that were locked in a computer that had been entered in some 13.5 million years ago, evidently. So there's a whole lot about space travel that we don't understand yet. Okay, let me pick back up. So they're back on the planet. They're in the Lyra Vegas system now. They came from Kudra. They're in the Lyra Vegas system. And it says, hence the Kudra immigrants finally found a new home on the planet Nysan. Which they reached approximately 2.4 million years ago when we calculated back from the present modern age. The two races settled on Nysan and quickly increased in numbers, which soon necessitated another emigration. So it seems like population seems to be one of the major problems. The inhabitants found space in the Laison Alliance of planets that aided them in their dispersion. And in the course of time, these people were able to take over two other planets for their home worlds, which have been designated to them by the Alliance of Planets. Soon the time came, however, when groups formed who wanted to venture further into the universe to research and seek new living space and additional human life forms. This is the habit and idiosyncrasy of human beings throughout the entire universe. For they feel the urge for adventure and the desire to evolve, explore, and penetrate to the root of things. It is a process peculiar to all human life. It breaks forth especially with full force and without restraint when the reasoning and the intellect are in the process of developing fully. When comprehension has not yet progressed to the point of having attained the knowledge that only the power of the spirit and the consciousness are the highest achievements which lead to true knowledge. Absolute logic, wisdom, and true creative love. However, a human being who has not yet been able to recognize and comprehend this will eagerly seek to hunt for the new and for the unknown without realizing that everything is dwelling within him, longing to be awakened. As long as one knows how to accomplish this, man on earth will not have reached the point for a long time where he comprehends and understands this truth. This is why he believes he recognizes untruths in truth, however, and regards himself as greater, more knowledgeable, and logical than he truly is. Misunderstandings may be one of the contributing factors for these illogical human actions. But this does not exempt an individual from his innate responsibility to think for himself and to explore any truth. For the example of truth set in nature and in life. Well, this is an incredible story about the Japanese and the Chinese races, and I think I will hopefully come back to this again in the future and cover it in a little more detail, because it has everything here. It has overpopulation. It has the dangers of space travel. Gives us a little idea about the age of humanity in our incredible creation. You know, we live in a universe that is extremely vast, and a universe that has an intelligence behind it that we call the universal consciousness. The universal consciousness is not a person. It's not a personification. It's not what we would call a god. It's not a father, as it's depicted in our various religions. It's an impersonal spiritual energy. It's neither good nor evil. It has a neutral, positive attitude, let me put it that way, because even the word think doesn't really apply so much to the creation. It works in a spiritual, energetic way that we don't completely understand. So it doesn't have a personality, and it doesn't really think in the terms we think of. It is a super intelligence. And it radiates love. The incredible splendor of nature is the visible expression of the love of creation. The creation really doesn't give any commandments. It doesn't stipulate or dictate to human beings what they should do. commandments can be enacted or established by human beings. And they can come from half or pure spiritual levels or planes. Now, we have five evolutionary steps that humans go through when they're evolving. Most of the spirit forms here on the earth, the human spirit forms, are about 4 to 5 million years old. However, some are somewhere between 8 and 12 million years old. And those are the people, like in our story about planet Kudra, those are the people that have come here from other worlds and have died, just like the people that came to the earth, I guess it was 25,000 years ago. Their ships corroded and deteriorated, and they were stuck here, and eventually they died because of certain natural events that were occurring on the earth way back at that time. We only had one continent. So there must have been volcanoes and continental drift and all sorts of upheavals going on at that time. So we have older spirit forms on the earth that have entered into the reincarnational patterns of Earth. I think that creates a kind of tension here on the Earth. Certainly in the people that have knowing, have a kind of knowing without having the information. So maybe they're driven to try to find that information. So the creation creates spirit forms, like spirit forms in Lazan and spirit forms on Kudra, spirit forms on the earth, to start this whole process of evolution. And we reincarnate for millions of years. For 42 million years, we reincarnate into physical bodies. That's what it says in the book, The Psyche. And during that time, our spirit forms grows in power and wisdom. And we have many personalities and we have many physical lifetimes. And at the fifth stage of human life, it's called life and creational wisdom. That's when things really start to come together for us. The powers of our material consciousness have become very advanced. We can do telekinesis, we can do telepathy, we can do teleportation even. Many people become what's called the Ishwish, or the King of Wisdom. The Plyaran have a formal test for this that they give their people. Quetzal was one individual that Billy has had contact with. A Plyaran man who has reached that level, that rank, here somewhat recently, anyway. So we here on the earth are at level 2, which is rational life. We still have intelligent life, which is the next phase we go into. Then the fourth stage is real life. And the fifth stage, it's the final physical stage where we have an opportunity to become a king of wisdom. And then after that stage, after 42 million years of physical reincarnations, then we go into a half physical, half spiritual state. So in that state is the same as the group that they call the High Council, which is in the Andromeda Galaxy. And the Plyaran get advice from these individuals. Let me read here, and this is a paper from Figu that is an explanation of laws and commandments of creation. It's written by Christian Freiner from Switzerland. He says, firstly, commandments can be enacted or established by human beings, also those representing society, state, or religious groups. And secondly, by half or pure spirit levels or planes within which certain individual vibrational structures or aspects still exist. at least as long as the fusion with the universal consciousness has not yet occurred. So after we get through the fifth stage, we go into stage six, where we're half physical, half material. This is at post 42 million years. And then there's many million years in this state. And then finally we go into these pure spiritual planes, which start out at what they call Arahat Athrasada, and then we move all the way up to what they call the Patali level. And then eventually we merge back with creation. And that's what Krishna is talking about here. And then he goes on and says, this backward compatibility, which is one-sided from the top down to the material realm of the human beings, makes it possible that the highest pure spirit level, the Patali, could transmit the Decalogue or the Dodecalogue respectively. Now, the Dodecalogue are 12 commandments, not 10 commandments, 12 commandments, which have been transmitted from the Patali level. And these are similar to our Ten Commandments, very similar. The whole story with the Ten Commandments, I better not talk about because it would require too many assumptions on my part. But I would say this, that they are probably a distortion of the original 12 commandments that were transmitted from the Patali level. Anyway, let me continue. I don't want to speculate too much more. While commandments leave it up to the individual whether or not they follow / observe them, it's quite different with respect to creative laws, which can also be called laws of nature, where phenomena and events exist, etc. Okay, laws of nature would include gravity. Another law of nature would be reincarnation. So these are the laws of nature. Within the material universe, belts are concerned. In order for creation to exist and evolve, and also everything that exists within the entire universe, it is necessary that laws exist which secure an order and which make the entire system possible in continuing. For better understanding, imagine the following example. Okay. We have to rely on the fact that gravity is directed toward the center of the Earth and that it does not from time to time suddenly change toward some other direction, toward the moon. Imagine how everything, if we could get just launched off the Earth. Regarding laws of creation, one can distinguish between those within the entire creation, including the spiritual realm, and those that apply mainly to the material realm. So just like a human being has a spiritual consciousness and a material consciousness, there is a material realm and a spiritual realm. And in creation, everything is connected to each other. So your spiritual consciousness is in some ways connected to your material consciousness, and there's kind of an impulsation which goes back and forth between the two. Okay, let me continue here. The above-mentioned example regarding the Earth's gravity also demonstrates that the effects and composition of the laws of nature are relative because they can be conquered under certain circumstances. For example, we can conquer gravity, so to speak, in an airplane, a jet plane, and a balloon. We can also learn principles associated with levitation, electrogravitics, and things like that. So in a certain limited way, we can overcome some of these laws of nature. Okay, let me give some example of some laws of creation. There are seven belts in our universe. Now, you can think of them as one belt encompasses another. So belt two completely encompasses belt one. They're like rings in a tree, if you've ever seen a tree cut down in the stump with the rings in a tree. And belt three encompasses belt four, surrounds it. Belt four, which is where the material belt is, that's all where all the planets, the stars, and the galaxies reside. And then belt five encompasses the material belt. Belt six encompasses five and seven, which is the final belt, encompasses all the other belts. And these, all these seven belts, they counter-rotate in different directions. And all universes follow this pattern. There is a sister universe to ours called the Tao universe. Both our universe and the Tao universe were created simultaneously 46 trillion years ago. And they're both expanding. And all universes go through this expansion phase, which lasts about 153 trillion years, about that time frame. And then a contraction phase will begin. And then it will contract to the size of a pea again, and then it will go dormant for a while, and then there'll be another bang, and it will expand outward. And the next universe created, or the next, I should say, the next evolution of our universe will not have a material belt, which really strikes me as odd. But that's just my own evolution, or lack thereof. Formation, creation of new spirit forms during the universe's expansion phase. So new spirit forms are created in the expansion phase only. I think here on the Earth there are roughly 190 billion spirit forms, human spirit forms that have been activated, something like that. The existence of love is another law of creation. The incredible splendor of nature is the visible expression of the love of creation, and creation radiates love. So that every point and every moment and every day you can come up against and feel and experience the radiating love of creation. Love is the highest principle in creation, and all other principle, all other laws, all animals follow that law. Every tiny plant, every tiny animal fulfills its purpose in love. And love is the interconnectivity of all things. And true love is based on a realization that we're connected to all things. It's not romance. True love is not romance. Romance is nice, but true love is not romance. It's based on observation, a neutral, positive kind of observation. There's affective love and effective love. Effective love is a neutral, positive. It doesn't so much depend on circumstances. It's a wisdom-conditioned love. Affective love is extremely romantic and unstable and has great highs and lows. Another law of creation is striving. All life has to strive to exist. There's work that has to be done. All human beings who do not strive, who do not work, will de-evolve. So you have to be evolving. You have to evolve your consciousness. You have to strive. You have to work. And if you don't, There are certain negative outcomes. There's another law of the creation is cause and effect. Certain causes, certain actions have certain effects. And there's also a kind of a bipolar structure and composition in everything. There's a negative and a positive. There's a neutral, which is kind of right in the middle. Okay, we talked about a little bit about the law of causality, cause and effect, the law of reincarnation. There's also something called the seven-step construction of matter, which I don't know that much about. There's also the effect of thoughts, the force of sending and the force of beating, striking upon its return. And there's a boomerang effect to your thoughts. So you have to be careful about your thoughts. Try to be neutral, positive in your thinking to minimize the unintended boomerang effect. And the boomerang effect is something I honestly could study in greater detail to truly understand. Another law of creation with a special impact in the material realm is that planets and galaxies come and go. They actually vanish, which, again, for us people of a limited lifespan, is also in itself something hard to really put your mind around. Let me explain it this way. Billy's spirit form, Nokedamion as it's sometimes called, is 9.6 billion years old. Our Earth is 5 billion years old, and the Earth is an old planet. It's in one of the outer spiral arms in this galaxy. Now, there were galaxies that were formed before our galaxy. One of those galaxies is called the Lyran Galaxy. It's gone. It's already gone. And the Nokedamion spirit form, Billy's spirit form, had material lives in that galaxy. And I remember one particular interview, I'll have to look it up, where he was talking about the fact that he still remembers the high consciousness of those people that lived on that world. And it would be very interesting if he actually remembered certain people. That's one of the reasons that we don't so much remember our past lives until we get to a certain point of our evolution. And there's also the effects of light on the growth of plants. There's certain laws associated with creation. And maybe we'll go back over those in detail again in the future in some other show. Been kind of a different show today. I've been looking at a lot of different things in a lot of different areas in the Meyer material. It's an endless amount of information to study. As you probably know by now, if you've been listening to the show for a while, I'm going to play a short clip on reincarnation because that's one of the laws that we just touch on. And this is children remembering their past lives.
In the country town of Hexham.
It was there one Sunday morning that tragedy struck John Pollock and his family. His two daughters and a friend were killed by a car on their way to church. Jacqueline was 6 and Joanna 11 when they died, but John Pollock did not despair while Hexham grieved. He believed that his wife would conceive twins, that the girls would be reborn.
From the moment I knew she was pregnant, I believed that the girls would come back.
And against all the doctor's predictions, Florence Pollock did produce twin girls.
The first thing I noticed when I saw those twins was, we haven't named them then, but the younger one of the two had a scar coming across her forehead down onto the bridge of her nose, which was the identical scar that Jacqueline, the younger one of the girls that's been killed, had when she fell off a little tricycle when she was about 2 years old. Also, I didn't see at the time, but later, my wife said to me, it's an incredible thing, that she's also got the birthmark on her left hip that Jacqueline had. Jacqueline had a birthmark on her left hip, which was like a brown thumbprint.
To this day, Jennifer still has that brown birthmark. Mrs. Mrs. Pollock was astonished when she gave the twins the dead girl's dolls.
When I got these two dolls out, one said, "Oh, that's Mary, and that's Susan." And it was exactly the same names as my other daughters had named them. And that was the sort of really turning point in my way of thinking.
The family had moved away after the tragedy, but on their first visit to Hexham, the twins seemed to remember the landmarks.
Well, when we came at the top of Battle Hill, they came over the brow, approaching St. Mary's Church, which they couldn't see. One turned to the other and said, "Well, the school's up around here, which we used to go to, and the playground's round the back." Now, they couldn't possibly have seen any sign of a school or a church even. I mean, they were so small, they couldn't even have seen over the wall. And sure enough, I mean, the school is round the corner. And this was the most incredible thing. And we continued to walk on. I mean, we were absolutely amazed at this. And as we came past the church, on the opposite side of the road is Hexham Abbey and the Abbey grounds. And one turned and said, "Oh, the playground's over there."
And she was right. The playground was over there, but they couldn't see.
Anyway, a wonderful, wonderful clip about reincarnation. I hope you've enjoyed the show this afternoon. I know we kind of covered a lot of variety, jumped back and forth a little bit. Hopefully you have a good week. We'll be back next weekend with more guests. Actually, I'll be on BTR, but Revolution Radio I will not be on. A Mad Painter will be taking over for me there, but I'll still have time to do a show on BTR, I'm sure, next weekend about the Meyer material, of course, and have a good afternoon. Thanks for listening.